She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, Episode 9, Cloak and Dagger. And here to talk with you about it, as we are most weeks, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how you been?
Been good, man. It's been a while since we've been doing the show, so it's nice to get back to it.
Yes, yeah, it has been a while. We had holidays are always a rough time anyway. Mm-hmm. Families and all that kind of stuff. And then there was a little sickness that ran through the house for you, which didn't help.
No, it ran through the freaking office. Somebody came into the office and dropped the COVID bomb on all of us. And it was like people dropping like flies. And I just had some congestion. Everybody, the bunch of people were out. I was like, nah, I'll take a test just to see. And it was like, yep, you're positive. It was like, dadgummit.
Well, at least your symptoms were minor. So that's good. Yeah. And nobody else in the house got it? You managed to keep it away from everybody? Yep. That's good.
Yeah, this is about the easiest we've run through it. So good. Cross your fingers, knock on wood.
Since last we talked, I actually was on another podcast talking Highlander. I was on the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast with Stephen Is. He had posted something about doing a Highlander month on their show.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know, I do Highlander. And he didn't either realize it or just missed it, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And originally he wanted me to come on for the recap, the roundtable for Highlander the series. And he was like, but we're recording it tomorrow. And I couldn't make that happen because I think I was recording an episode of Gore that night. And so I ended up coming on the week after that. And I talked with them. We watched Highlander Endgame, and I talked about that. And I brought up the show quite a bit. Flex my Highlander knowledge a little here and there. But, I mean, look, any excuse I have to talk Highlander, I'm going to. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
So check out, look for the Everything I Learned from Movies, or EILFM podcast. And you'll find me on there. And they did the whole month. So they did the first movie. I know they did the series. I think they were doing all of the movies. Maybe not The Source. I think I may have convinced them not to do Highlander The Source. We'll see.
I mean, after the first movie, you can just kind of chunk them all together and talk about them.
That's true. That's
in broad terms.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, but now we're back here. We're back here to talk about Highlander the Raven, which I also mentioned we were doing on that show. And we are at episode.
And they were like, Highlander the what?
Yeah, pretty much. And I was like, well, it's the spinoffs. You don't need to watch it. It's fine. You watch.
Just listen to us. We're doing it for you.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, episode 9, Cloak and Dagger. We're just a few episodes in. We're reaching the halfway point, I would say.
Yeah.
Of the series by now. Had the return of, what is it, Bert?
Bert.
So we'll have some things to talk about that because I have some thoughts. It's just nice to get back to watching the series. We want to get through this. We want to, you know, make sure that we cover all our bases here as we discover all things Highlander. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to have a fun little announcement to make as well. So that'll be cool. But I think first what we got to do is we got to talk about what happened in this episode.
Yes.
What if I told that one of those cops was Nick's cop?
Nick? Corrupt? I don't think so.
Oh, really? How long have you actually known Nick?
So, episode 9, Cloak and Dagger. Here's the quick synopsis of it. Burt Myers hires Amanda to help him break into the house of an industrialist under the guise of stealing files to help Nick. But in reality, the files that Myers wants to steal contains information regarding his former life as a spy. So, all right. We open the episode up with, what is it, East Berlin, 1988?
Mm-hmm.
And we see Burt. And he's there interrogating somebody in a dank little, like, basement, effectively, or, like, warehouse room. There's him.
Yeah.
There's the man in the chair whose face we can't see. He's kind of shrouded in darkness. And then another creepy-looking bald guy in a suit smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, trying to get info out of him, the guy in the chair. He's proclaiming up and down, I didn't tell him anything, I don't know anything, yada, yada, yada. While all that's going on, Bert is telling him basically, look, you need to tell me or you're going to have to deal with him. And then an older gentleman, rather large gentleman, walks into the room. Mm-hmm. And Bert says, Ludwig. And immediately gets a little more nervous. And this man wants the information. They say, well, he doesn't know anything more. Gives Bert a gold cigarette case with his initials mm-hmm. monogrammed onto it. And then tells him to kill the hostage, to kill the captive. So he reluctantly takes out his gun. He's ready to shoot. But he's hesitating because that wasn't part of it. He wasn't supposed mm-hmm. to kill him. And then the other guy, the creepy bald guy, pulls out his gun, and just before the shot gets fired, we see it's Bert in the chair. And then he wakes up. It was all a dream.
Yeah.
So we start off with a nightmare sequence. Although,
yeah.
Because it's not stylized at all, it's the false nightmare. So there's Bert, and he's all... And I just... Every time I say Bert, I just keep hearing Ernie's voice in my head. Hey, Bert.
Yeah, it was not a good name choice.
I also, I went to school with somebody named Bert, so that doesn't help. So he wakes up and his girlfriend comes in wondering, you know, if he's okay. He was asleep on the couch, I guess, something. He's all nervous and upset by the dream. Fires up a cigarette. She's worried because he's not sleeping well. He was saying the name Ludwig in his sleep. He's smoking again. She's concerned about him. He's trying to tell her, just leave it alone. It's fine. Whatever. I'll deal with it. And then opening credits.
Yeah.
So skip the opening credits and we get into the show proper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I will say in this episode, this is probably my favorite part, was the very beginning, post credits, just because it was just ridiculous. So we see Bert come to Amanda for help.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have apparently any kind of a relationship. So,
right.
The two of them are walking down the street bantering. She's like, look, I ain't buying whatever you're trying to sell. But he wants her help. And they end up at a cafe somewhere drinking some wine while he's explaining the job to her that he wants her to do, which is to break into a house.
Right.
So he wants her to break into a house because there's files in there. And the files mm-hmm. are on corrupt cops. The one of yeah. whom is believed to be Nick, or a former cop, is what he says. And Amanda pieces it together that it's Nick, that she's like, but he's, you know, he's not corrupt. Like, he's never done anything wrong. And
mm-hmm.
of course, Bert's trying to do the spycraft thing of like coercing her into doing the job. By saying like, well, go ahead.
Okay. Now I just got to ask this question because the rest of the episode, it was like made out to be, he told her it was some DA's house.
Yeah.
I don't remember that in that actual part of the conversation.
He mentions a DA because he says something about, she says, well, no, Nick hasn't done anything wrong. And Bert's response is like, well, yeah, but if the, you know, whatever information gets to him, gets to some DA looking to make himself the mayor.
Sure.
So he tries to imply that it's a DA's house, but he's really cagey about like real information. Amanda, and Amanda's reluctant to do it for obvious reasons. Right. Because Amanda's not dumb.
No.
Meanwhile, during this conversation, we cut to a wedding chapel in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Where a very airheaded blonde and a wannabe wise guy are about to get married. And his two yeah. mooks are with him.
Yeah.
And then just as they walk up to the altar, the camera cuts 180 degrees and it's Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I will admit, I got a good laugh out of that. That one was pretty ridiculous.
Oh, for sure.
What is happening here? And then it cuts away. And we go back to Bert and Amanda at the cafe, or they're drinking wine, when his girlfriend happens by.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already worried about Bert and what's going on with him. And then she shows up and sees him here with Amanda and immediately gets upset.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course Bert tries to, you know, it's fine. It's just business stuff. And Amanda's like, you know what? No, it's mm-hmm. fine. You stay, I'm leaving, you know, da da da, and leaves. And he gets, Catherine to sit down with him.
Right.
And then we cut back to Nick at the wedding chapel, when he, before they can start the ceremony, it turns out, oh, Nick is there because he's picking up a bail jumper.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, of all the crazy schemes, having him be a priest so that he can get the guy to tell him his actual real name was the one little bit of genius.
That's a very well written scene for that, because it's perfect. Mm-hmm. He's gotta ensure that it's the right person, and as soon as he gets the full name, boom, there you go. And so Nick comes back. Bert shows up. He's like, hey, here's some money for the job that you did. You know, the bail bondsman's happy. And it's more money than Nick was expecting.
Right.
So Bert tells him, well, it's a down payment for the next job. I want you to go to Mexico and do whatever. And Nick doesn't want to go. And Bert's just being real cagey about everything. He's not very subtle. Bert is not a subtle man.
He's not. But at the same time, they did a good job of not having it be too pushy, where Nick was like, what are you doing? It was just, I don't want to do it. And Bert's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah. And he and Bert can't go because he's got some other thing with a high profile client they're running security for his firm is running security for. So it ends up being that Amanda and Bert go to the house and they break into the house. And again, Bert's telling her, look, there's files we need to get. They get into the house. She goes looking for something. You know it's Amanda, so she's going to go find something to steal. Because, hey, she's broken into the house already. She's already there. Like, might as well. Bert goes upstairs to find the files when a man walks up with a shotgun. And who is it? It's Ludwig that we saw at the beginning of the episode. So Bert shoots him.
Yeah, he does.
And they get out of the house. Next morning, it's all over the newspaper. And Nick has figured something out somehow. I'm not sure exactly how he figured out Amanda was involved. I missed that part.
Yeah.
But knows that Amanda was involved. Amanda, and tells Amanda, like, basically, Bert set you up, and you're now an accessory to murder, which she didn't even know that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Again, somehow.
He had a silencer on his gun.
Yeah,
she
that's
wouldn't
true.
Have heard anything. She wouldn't have heard that large male's body falling on the floor upstairs.
Yeah, that's how TV and movie silencers work. They silence the bullet and the body hitting the floor. It's amazing technology. Mm-hmm. So now Nick is upset, because he knows that Bert got her involved and something's not right. He calls up Catherine while he's changing in the bathroom, and then slips out the back on Amanda. But she just walks around the corner and finds him anyway. So that was kind of pointless. But he's upset. He wants to go find out what's going on. Doesn't want Amanda involved. He goes to talk to Bert. Meanwhile, as Bert is walking around, the weird, creepy, bald guy from the beginning of the episode is also in town following him.
Mm-hmm.
Nick confronts him in an alley. They talk. Bert starts to tell him what's going on. And basically what we find out is, yeah, what something that we already knew, which is Bert was involved in the spy game way back when. But
right.
We're learning a little bit more about his backstory. He was a double agent with the East Germans before the wall fell. And his protege, he was the protege of Ludwig at the time, mm-hmm. Who in the newspapers was being called a wealthy industrialist. But Bert's like, yeah. he weren't no industrialist. And we learned that Ludwig had confronted Bert a week earlier, basically saying, I need you to kill someone for me. Why do you think you got mm-hmm. the contract for this person that's coming to town? You need to kill her. And Bert's like, I'm not doing that. But Ludwig's holding over. He's got a bunch of information, file on him. There's people that are looking for him, that kind of thing, which right. led me to question, if he's got all this info, why hasn't he used it before? And why hasn't Bert changed his name since the 80s?
Yeah.
Because that had me questioning a few things. So that's how we find out what's going on. And Nick, basically, all this happens. And then Nick and Bert and Amanda figure out that they need to pretty much set a trap because the other guy, what was his name? Was it Gunner? Is that the bald guy? I can't remember his name now.
It was Keller, actually.
Keller.
It sounded like Gunner, but it was Keller.
Okay. So Keller is still wandering around town and calls him, actually, and says, basically, we're going to kill the woman anyway. So they devise a plan. While all this is going on, Catherine is very, very upset with Bert. She's ready to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
She can't handle the lies and the cloak and dagger stuff anymore and him not telling her anything. And he's like, look, this one more job and then we'll be fine. So they end up setting up kind of a sting. Amanda, Nick, and Bert go to the location. Bert's going to run his protection detail, but he's got Nick with him mm-hmm. to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda is off somewhere doing another part of things.
Right.
Everything goes down. Keller shows up and goes to make his move on the target. Nick shoots him
mm-hmm.
before he can do anything. And then we cut to the limo where the target is supposed to be in the limo with Catherine in the front seat as the limo driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then she pulls a gun out and gets ready to shoot. Yeah. What was her name? Chandra.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out to be Amanda in disguise.
Yeah.
Because they had also planned for that contingency. Because one of the things you learn in this episode, they beat you over the head with, is contingencies upon contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a little scuffle. Amanda fights her off. Catherine runs away. And then Bert tracks her down and is ready to shoot her. Now, here's the thing. Turns out Catherine is a double agent. She was working Bert the whole time for Ludwig. How long have they been together? I mean, we're not told, but it's meant to feel like they've been together for a while because Bert's telling her how much he loves her at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she was basically attached to him as a plant in order to make sure this happened. I'm not sure. It's very not well explained and felt like
it's not great.
That felt like a plot twist to have a plot twist. Like, oh, and by the way, Catherine's also da da da. And I didn't particularly enjoy that. But mm-hmm. Nick convinces him not to shoot her and everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
The end.
Pretty much. Well, and Amanda apparently eventually finds the documents somehow.
Yeah. And then, she
found them.
She ends up with the whole file and gives it to Bert at the end so that he's fine and in the clear. That's the episode. It's, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
How was your assignment?
Contingency upon contingency.
Contingency upon contingency.
Don't take it personal.
Ludwig's dead. Why'd you keep going? Why?
Because it's what I know.
It's not great. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, it's not the worst, but it's definitely not close to good.
And it has a problem of being a bit overstuffed and too much. Like, the show, it's been our thing for the first 8 episodes, and now this 9th episode, is the show doesn't know what it wants to be. And
yeah,
we've only met Bert, what, twice, I think, before this?
Yeah, and I think so.
He's been private security, and then they had the one episode. Yeah, he's private security in one, and then the other one we find out, oh, he's got a past with someone in Europe, prior life type stuff. But, like, this is a side character, right? This isn't Nick. Right. This isn't Amanda. This is, like, it would be like if during Highlander, suddenly Maurice had this, like, really dark, convoluted past that we didn't talk about. Like, and they tried to force that.
Even that's pushing it, because we saw a lot of Maurice. We've hardly seen any of Bert.
Well, yes.
And the times we've seen Bert, he is the, you know, hard-edged guy. Like, there's nothing in the past episodes we've seen of Bert to ever consider him being faulty in any sort of way for whatever reason.
Yeah. That's true. I guess it would be, so to use the Maurice thing, it would be like having Maurice be that in episode 2.
Right.
But not as like, because it's one thing if you have a character that's got a past like this that you're exploring and it's sort of your guest star, right? Because they did that a lot. But that's your main plot with your guest star. This is the, again, the secondary character. It would be, you know, it just felt like too much. The Catherine twist, way too much. I did not like that.
Yeah,
because it could have
been a lot worse, but it still wasn't great.
I would have liked it better if it had just been that she was upset with him and didn't want to lose him. I think is a more compelling story than, oh, she also happens to be an agent, because that's never going to get brought up again. So why do we care about that? I think also
it would have been interesting. When she was first in the limo and I saw her, I was like, ooh, they even got Catherine in on this. And it's like, oh no, Catherine's a bad guy? Okay.
Yeah, having her be in on the plan might have even been better. You're right. I'm with you there. So, didn't love that. I know I made the comment that, you know, why didn't Bert ever change his name? They do have a bit of dialogue about that where he's like, what, change my name again? Do you think I was born Bert, whatever? But come on, like, if he, it's 1990, what, 8, I think, 99 for this show?
98.
So it's 1998. The Iron Curtain fell, like, the Berlin Wall came down, what, 89? So.
Something like that, yeah.
That was basically all done nearly 10 years before the show. You're telling me that if this was such a huge deal in his life and so important and such a problem, it took almost 10 years for it to ever manifest again?
Right.
Like, I have some trouble with that. I don't. That just feels like, well, we have this idea. We're going to make it happen no matter what.
Right. Instead of this being an idea they had from the beginning and write little nuggets into the previous episodes of Bert having issues.
Yeah.
You know, if they had done that, that'd have been different. But this, it's like all of a sudden Bert's having issues for whatever reason. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, Maurice or what's her name? Randy in season 1 of Highlander, like suddenly having her have, you know, mob ties or something in like the second episode she's in.
Randy's the better comparison because we just didn't have much of her at all here and there when she was there. And Bert's the same way. Like, what little nuggets we had of Bert. Again, he was the hard-edged, I'm on top of this, nothing's going to bother me kind of person. And then all of a sudden this episode, he's bothered. It's like...
Yeah, and I think part of it too is because the show, because Nick is a former cop, they want to work in all this kind of cop stuff. Right. Because the show is more police procedural drama than it is a Highlander show at this point, really.
Right.
And but yet with Nick having quit the force after the pilot episode, they don't have any of that kind of stuff to go off of. So they then try to shoehorn in this idea that he's working private security, but they only do that halfway. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah. If it was a regular job, that'd be one thing, but it's only in the episodes where he needs to be working that it's a thing.
Yeah. And like, he can do like bail bondsman work, you know, and be a bounty hunter. But then he can spend the rest of the time working on his bike for whatever reason. It's just weird. Yeah. It just feels like a half-baked idea. It's really the problem that we've had, that both of us have had throughout the show run for this particular series, is it just didn't know what it wanted to be. Because I do think, I think Paul Johansson is getting better with every episode. Like,
agreed.
He is getting more comfortable with the role of Nick. And even and his chemistry with Elizabeth Grayson, I think, is getting better. I think they are okay. But still, some of the writing is like, it's weird.
I was going to say, the writers haven't figured this out, because when they have that argument about when Amanda goes to Nick to figure out where Bert is, and then that triggers Nick into going to find Bert on his own, like, they spend way too much time having an argument of why they should go find Nick or who should do it. You know, it's like, it took you this long to have this conversation where you're both going to find Nick anyways, or find Bert anyways. It's like, ugh, why are we still doing this?
Yeah. Again, it's writing of kind of exposition and not really characters. Mm-hmm. And
one other thing, putting the stupid motorcycle tank on a thing right next to the door every freaking time, just so somebody can knock it over and Nick be upset by it. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You know what that is?
We have seen some dumb stuff written into various episodes of Highlander and Highlander the Raven. Oh my gosh. After the second time, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, when it happened at the end, I just wrote down in my notes, stop putting the tank right by the door.
So that gag, that is somebody saw like Home Alone, or they saw House 2, because that gag is done in those. Like, in Home Alone, it was a little statue out front of the house where every car that would drive up to the house would knock that thing over. In House 2, which is a movie that I know I've seen and like nobody else has.
Yeah.
But there's this pile of rocks right out front of the house, and every car that drives up to this house knocks it over. And it's this running gag. And I feel like it was somebody that saw that or remembered that and is like, oh, that's such a funny gag. We'll do that, but with a gas tank, and it'll keep getting knocked over by the door because he keeps setting it right next to the door and then getting upset about move the table, Nick. So yeah, no, that
yeah.
That was definitely not a well-written joke at all.
Yeah.
Because it's just not funny.
Sorry, folks. I had to get that one off my chest because that just bugged the snot out of me the whole episode. They did it like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Well, and it tells you a little bit about what the episode is like when that's the thing you latch onto, is that dumb joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because there could be interesting stuff in here. Like, they want to play with the idea of Amanda being a thief. But because there's no direct police involvement most of the time, now we're getting her doing, like, thieving stuff, but for the former spook CIA guy that's now private security.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, okay. And again, it's more this police procedural and less Highlander, so there's no... Mm-hmm. We don't have an immortal. And look, not every episode has to deal with immortals.
Right.
But one of the things that worked in Highlander, the series, was that even episodes that didn't deal directly with other immortals, like it wasn't just your standard Duncan finds an immortal, fights him, takes his head.
Mm-hmm.
It dealt with typically a lot of issues of immortality.
Right.
The weaker episodes were the ones that didn't deal with that at all. Mm-hmm. Stuff like, what was the one with Charlie and the baby in like season 3?
Right.
That one was okay, but it wasn't very good, in part because it kind of got away from the mythology of Highlander and all of that kind of stuff. which is what we want. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
Here. But it's just this idea that the show doesn't know what it wants to be. And so it can't quite figure it out.
And I think the problem with this episode is they've set up Nick to be such a Boy Scout. They don't know how to make him have any kind of past that would come back to haunt him. So they've got to do it with Bert. Mm-hmm. So we've got to bring in side character to be the not immortal with a past thing. And it's like, okay, talk about reaching. Thanks, guys.
Right, because it basically makes Nick kind of pointless in this episode. He's not really needed there. You know, he should be having... He doesn't have to be a former spy, but he should have some background, and that's the impetus for whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of it
Nick being, is Indiana Jones in this episode. Like, everything would have happened with or without him.
Yeah, you're right. It's perfect. And we just need to, like, it's better to dive in. Because the episode we had, I don't know if it was the previous one or the one before that, Crime and Punishment, where it was going back into Nick's, like, first case as a detective, was better because at least it was something involving our main character and some background for him. And it gave us, you know, it was him being the Boy Scout right from the beginning and wanting to fix a mistake that he made.
Right.
I think that was two episodes ago. Like, that's better. That's more interesting because it's, we care, if we're going to care about a character at all, it's going to be Nick or Amanda. It's not going to be Bert.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, that's who we should be caring about because that's who you set the series up for. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Also, it was kind of a bummer that we had the guy, the immortal from the first episode, the fence. I can't think of his
Basil.
Name. Basil gets mentioned by name, but we don't get to see him.
Yeah, he gets mentioned. Yeah.
And there was also, okay, one last thing I got to mention is this, because this confused me. So after the break-in and Amanda steals the art piece and Bert kills Ludwig, then Bert goes to Basil because he knows about him, where Amanda sold the art to buy the art from him.
Mm-hmm.
For what purpose?
To be able to put it back so that it was never technically stolen, and therefore Amanda has no connection to anything.
Was that his idea? Okay.
Yes, that was his idea. That was his way of trying to get Amanda out of whatever she was in at this point, because...
Okay. Well, they didn't do a great job of explaining that because I was trying to figure out, like, it felt like it was just something to have a plot point for the two of them to argue over when Amanda showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, how did he know about Basil and what she took? I still can't figure that part out. Like, I don't know how he knew she took anything or what she took. And then he had to find it. Then he had to buy it back from that. From Basil, and then he had to, like, it's all too, I can hand wave some things away, but that was too much of, like, well, we gotta figure out a way out of this corner we're backed into. So here
we go. Yeah, I mean, they talked about Basil had already sold it to somebody, and I was like, okay, great. And then we find out it was Bert, and I think Nick's the one that figures it out. It's like, okay, so... Okay, yeah, sure.
It's, I mean, the rating for this is like a 7-something, but I really think that a lot of that, there's a little more nostalgia rating there. I don't think this is that great of an episode, but it's really the series in general. I mean, if it weren't for doing this show, I'd have tapped out already because I don't think I could handle finishing this out. And I'm not one to give up on a series usually. And I really like Elizabeth Grayson, and Amanda's great.
Yeah.
But the series writing is just not very good. So we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
We're committed. We're going to do it. But
We're going to do it.
But yeah, this isn't a great episode. So we're going through it so you don't have to. Or if you want to commiserate with us, you can. It's all available on Freevee.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that is episode 9, Cloak and Dagger. Cool title, could have been interesting, not really, but
hey. Yeah, there's You know, I can't even think of good ways to make it better. Like that's where I'm at this point. I'm like, eh.
No, it would take
probably something we could have done, but
it would take a rewrite from the ground up, really. Like,
mm-hmm.
You got to make it about characters that we care about and just something more interesting. But hey, you know, they're not all going to be winners, right? We kind of know this already. We sort of know what we're getting into with the series. So It is what it is. Next week is going to be episode 10, Passion Play. So here's the blurb on that one. Lucy discovers that Wilson Geary, the immortal that killed her immortal husband, Marco Becker, many years ago, is in town. And she decides to take her revenge.
Ooh.
So that's telling us that there's a little more to Lucy's background than we knew. But it ties into the overall mythology, so that's a little more interesting than, by the way,
she's an immortal episode. Immortal episode.
Yes. There are you're going to have immortals in your immortal mm-hmm. show. So that'll be fun. This one's also directed by Dennis Berry, who did a lot of episodes of the original series. So I think that'll maybe help a little bit.
Yes.
So yeah, that'll be, that is next week's episode. Now we do record when we do an episode, we record them live Thursday night, 9 PM Eastern time at twitch.tv/TV's Travis. You can come hang out. You can, see the show get recorded live. Show comes out, as a podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, just search for Let's Watch Highlander. Find Audie's awesome artwork. I still, every time I look at the artwork you did for Highlander the Raven is better than the show deserves. Let's say that.
Thank you.
Fun little announcement that I am going to make. It's just a personal thing for me, but this summer, Adrian Paul's company, The Sword Experience, is having a Highlander The Roots tour of Scotland in July. Ooh. And I'm going to go. I'm going to get to see Ellandunan Castle, which is the castle used in the movie. There's going to be stuff happening at Glenfinnan, the village, all that kind of stuff. So as we get closer and closer to that, I'll kind of reveal a little bit more about what's going on. I'm going to try to get as much kind of content as I can while I'm there too. So be ready to search for that stuff, which you can find me on all the socials as TV's Travis, whether it's Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, right here on Twitch, all that. I've also got a Discord. If you go to tvstravis.com, there's a link to the Discord there. You can join. I love to talk about any sort of pop culture stuff, but I love talking about Highlander. Audie, let people know where they can find you everywhere while I look something up.
Yeah. So on the socials, you can find me at the Audie Norman. Tend to hang out on the Twitters, on the Threads, Instagrams, and Blue Skies right now. So definitely hit me up there. Also ready and willing to talk Highlander, and you know, we love talking about all kinds of geeky nerdy stuff, movies, video games, pop culture junk, whatever. So definitely hit us up there, let us know your thoughts on Highlander, your thoughts on Highlander Raven if you happen to watch it. Join in the excitement as we figure out what's going to happen to the new movie whenever that gets made.
Yep. Highlander reboot. So Stahelski has said recently, like within a day or so, it's his next project.
Yes. And
not only that, but he is going to be, there's a deal between him and Lionsgate, and he is going to oversee, he's overseeing John Wick already, but also Highlander as a franchise. They want, I think, more than just a single movie out of this. So,
well, of course.
Obviously, it's got to do well. There's got to be a market for it,
right?
But he's getting to work on that, so that's going to be really, really cool. And one other thing, this was something I found recently. It was a video clip, and I'll post it on my social medias with Christopher Lambert talking. This was a few years ago, but somebody was interviewing him, asking him about Highlander and specifically the reboot, and it was really a very insightful answer that he gave, because it wasn't your standard like, I hope they do a good job with it, or I wish them the best in whatever they do there. He was very insightful about like, no, I think it's a cool idea. I think if you've got something fresh to talk about with it, it's worth exploring. And then they asked him if he were to get approached to be in it, would he say yes? And I loved his answer to that question because he said, you know, if it's a little cameo, a little wink at the audience type thing, yeah, absolutely. If they want me to be like super involved in it, no, because I think somebody else should do that. Like, let it be somebody else's thing. And I just thought that was really cool because, like, that's the perfect way to do it.
That's somebody who you know is an artist who knows what goes into creating this kind of stuff. It is like, I've done my creating of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to let somebody else do their creating of it. Like, I've seen that clip before, and yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, Christopher Lambert is the real deal. Like, he knows how things work, but he also knows what it's like to be somebody that creates something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me like him a lot more. There was just it was such a thoughtful answer,
right,
to something that could have been very like throwaway. So I really enjoyed mm-hmm. that. But yeah. I'll post that on all my socials. You can check that out as well. But I'm excited for the Highlander reboot, especially as it's picking up some steam and moving on. So I'm sure we will talk about that when it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
But until next week, in episode 10, Passion Play, just remember, we don't care about Bert.
Nick, stop putting the tank right next to the door.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.